There's no other attitude that is more important just about than perseverance. Anybody who's ever trained for a sport or to be a specialist or a career, you have some kind of idea of the personal cost that's involved with the hours of training, and not just training, but failing, refining your techniques, sometimes being corrected. Sometimes you have to perform under pressure, but you eventually overcome and you obtain your goals. Remember that many of the situations and problems that you have and that you struggle with, they didn't come overnight. Sometimes these things happen over several years, and simple fixes are not always going to happen. But utilizing patience and perseverance along with commitment to put an effort into your working on that problem can, in fact, bring a resolution. Amen? There's a football team that I liked since 1967, the Oakland Raiders, black and silver. The thing I liked about them, the quote, the statement, was a commitment to excellence. I want to know this morning, do you have a commitment to excellence? Do you have a commitment to the excellency that God has for you to do? When God wants you to do something for him, he don't want you to do it 50% of the way. He don't want you to do a good job, but he wants you to do everything in decency and in order. He also wants you to be excellent about what it is that you do. Many times, God throws us out there. There's a statement that says, if you don't, that sometimes if you don't go, you got to get pushed. And when you get pushed out there, you wonder, why did God push me out here? How come I have to do this? And again, that proverbial two-word statement, why me? Our relationship with God begins with prayer and faith and a commitment to do his will and his way, regardless of how the situation looks. Today, I want you to realize that with Jesus, we can overcome the enemy and any other demon that has tried to affect us. Amen? Why? Because it's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog. Amen? So if you will, turn your Bible to Judges, the 6th chapter. And I will read verses 12 to 14. It says, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but if the Lord is with us, why has all of this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of the Midian. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of the Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Amen? This story about Gideon is inspiring for all of us. Listen to what the Lord tells him. He says, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. You shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. These words spoken to Gideon by an angel sent from the Lord. They were certainly meant to be encouraging, but Gideon's first thought seems to be, why me? Isn't there someone stronger or braver who can do it? God's directions may not always make sense to us. As humans, we are short-sighted and weak. We fall time and time again when we trust in our own strength instead of striving to find and do God's will in our life. Gideon was about to experience this firsthand in his life. How many have been put in a situation where you have asked the Lord, why me? I know that I have. Sometimes I had financial issues. And if you looked, I made money. But why I was having those issues, I didn't understand. Everybody around me seemed to have less money than me, but was doing better things than me. So I asked the Lord, why me? Sometimes you look around and you know, people get sick and they have afflictions. And they look around at brothers and sisters, and I mean biological brothers and sisters. And they want to know, why, Lord, why did you pick me to have this affliction? Why me? Sometimes people have perfect jobs, perfect marriages, and all it appears to be. And you ask the Lord, when you go through things, why me? Maybe a bunch of sisters might say, all of my sisters have good marriages, but I got this one here. Why me? You know you have asked those questions. You know you have called upon the Lord and asked, why me? Gideon's in this situation right now. He's saying, why me? Isn't there someone stronger? Isn't there somebody braver that can do what you want to do, Lord? But why me? Because this nation of Israel had turned away from God, he allowed the Midianites to terrorize Israel for 7 years, destroying their land and their livestock. I didn't say occupy. I said terrorize. There's a difference between somebody occupying a land and somebody terrorizing a land. There's a difference when somebody just gets into your head and somebody terrorizing all of your thoughts about that person. Do you know what terror is? That is terror. Judges 7 and 12 says the Midianites were as numerous as locusts, and their camels were without numbers, as the sand by the seashore in multitude. In their need, Israel cried out to God. In his mercy, God stepped in and decided that Gideon would lead the poverty-stricken, downtrodden Israelites to victory. When Gideon heard this, he probably looked up at the sky and said, Lord, you know me. But of course God knew him, but he chose Gideon anyway. Your questions, your doubts, and your fears do not deter God from choosing you. All of the things that you might want to do to deter God, you can't deter God because he has chosen you. God knows our personality. Everybody here has a personality. God knows our weaknesses, and God knows our weaknesses. God knows our tendencies towards sin. He knows the sin that you've been in. He knows the sin that you drift towards. But he knows you. But make no mistake about it. When he has chosen you, you're a chosen one. You see, those who see themselves as the greatest, the strongest, and the most wise will have a hard time hearing God's voice because they can't hear it above their own thoughts, behind their own opinions. Amen? But God chooses to use the low person. He chooses to use the person that's open. He chooses to use the person with a receptive heart. Amen? Because he knows that they will be able to become his people of valor. Amen? God knows who's ready to do his will. And even though Gideon was an uncertain leader, God still said, I want you. Remember they used to have that poster with Uncle Sam and that finger pointing that says, I want you. When God chooses you, he points that proverbial finger at you and says, I want you. Gideon took this role reluctantly, but he asked God for signs time and again and again. First, the angel summoned fire to consume the food that Gideon had brought out there. Afterward, Gideon put a fleece of wood for two consecutive nights. The first night, he said, I want this fleece to be wet and everything around it dry. When he came out the next day, it was wet and everything around it was dry. He says, okay, God, if you can do this, then I want something else. I want this fleece to be dry, and I want everything around it to be wet. You see, if God can do this, he can do that. Amen? Now, God was not discouraged by these requests. Did he reconsider the person that he picked? You can ask God all you want. You can question him all you want, but he's not going to reconsider changing the pick that he had. You can fight all you want, but when God picked you, you're going to do something. Amen? All of these signs and wonders occurred, giving Gideon the strength and the faith that he needed. You see, God refused to give up on Gideon, even when Gideon gave up on himself. I just need to stop right there for a minute. God did not give up on Gideon, even though Gideon gave up on himself. There's some things going on in your life right now, and you are ready to give up. You are ready to say, I quit. I finished. I'm not doing nothing else. I'm not doing no more. No matter how you jump up and scream, stamp your feet, holler, turn a flip. But when God chooses you, he's going to wait till you're tired of fighting him. And he's going to ask you, are you now ready? Don't you realize that when you beat yourself down, that you're in a weak moment? And when you're that weak, it's easy for God to call you. He'll wait. He'll wait you out. Amen? God refused to give up on Gideon. God encouraged Gideon in order to remove any fear and to strengthen his faith. Those that are fully committed to God's plans will at times need God's encouragement. Amen? Sometimes we're going through things, but God will send something that will encourage us because we do need encouragement. Amen? When these times come, we should pray that God will inspire us by his Spirit with faith, hope, and courage. If you turn to Colossians, the first chapter, I'm going to read verses 9 and 11 through 11. It says, for this reason, and this is Paul, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. There's a couple of things in there that Paul is saying. He's saying, since we heard of you, we haven't stopped praying. So prayer is continuous. He says, so that you can get to that God will fill you with the knowledge of his will. We don't know what God's will for us is all the time. But when we pray and we have people praying for us, God will fill our minds, our spirits, our bodies, and our soul with the knowledge of what it is that he wants for us, so that you might live a life worthy, a life worthy. There's some unworthy lives that are being living, that the people are living right now. But the Bible says, and live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. If a tree don't bear a fruit tree, don't bear fruit, it ain't a fruit tree. If you're doing a good work for job, a good job for Jesus in everything that you do, you're going to bear fruit. And I know a lot of people who are so powerful, but they ain't bearing no fruit. They're not bearing no fruit. How can you be such a great fruit tree and you're not bearing fruit? How can you be an apple tree and there's no apples? Paul is saying here that bearing fruit in every good work, amen? Further along, he says, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience. Somewhere along the line, it's telling me that you have power when you have endurance and patience. Power is not beating down on somebody. Power is endurance and patience. There's a scripture that says grace isn't given to the, and it isn't given, it's given to he that endureth to the end. There are people that can run a 100-yard dash, and that's it. But you try to hang with one of them long-distance runners. There's a lot of training involved. God doesn't want you to have just a burst of speed, but he wants you to endure to the end. Because to endure, you're going to have patience. And patience takes power. I know that I can be powerless when I don't have patience. Because whatever it is that got me going off, it's more powerful than me. We need to look at that thing that we don't have patience with. We need to look at that thing that we have that has more power over us. We need to look at that thing because only God can change us from being powerless over it to being power over it. Paul also writes in Philippians 4, 6 to 7, he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, maybe 50% of them, maybe 80% of them, some things, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, not just with what you want, but with thanksgiving to God. Because if you don't have something, you'll take anything. But being that you do have something and you want more, you have to have thanksgiving for what you do have. If you have somebody that don't have nothing, they'll take anything. But God is saying that you got something. So come to him with some thanksgiving because you want more. Present your request. Oh, hallelujah. There's a word that's right there. He said present. He didn't just say give it to him. Present. Present your request to God. There's a nice way of doing things. God understands your motives. He says present your request to God. There's an S at the back of request. Because somewhere along the line, Paul knew that we would not have just one. We don't never have just one. Even if it's a Lay's potato chip, we could not have just one. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. When you are in prayer and you're in petition, asking God and thanking God for all the things that he's done, and you're presenting your requests, there's some peace that goes along with it. Amen? Because somebody, somewhere, is saying, why are you asking God for all of that? You know he ain't going to do this or that for you. There's always naysayers. But when you know that your God is a good God, When you know that your God is a great God, when you know that God hears all of your prayers, when you know that God will do what you ask him to do, and even more, you have peace. You have peace. My wife used to pray for parks. And I say, why are you praying for a park? But she had peace in her prayers. And when we find the park, I'm saying, thank you, Jesus. And it didn't just happen with me. She was in a carpool going to work. And she was praying for parks. And in the carpool was three other people. And they wanted to know, why are you praying for a park? And when they consistently found the park, when they needed a park, can you call God? Can you pray for a park? If you ever been to Brooklyn, you know that it's hard. Parking is hard. Pray for a park. She would pray for a park, and they would get a park. You see, because no request is too little. See, you think it's just a little park. But that park means getting to work on time, not being late, not being docked, having a 5 minutes to set yourself up before the kids come into the classroom. That park has other things attached to it. So when you pray your little prayer to God, he already knows everything that's attached to what it is that you're asking. Sometimes you don't even know what's attached to what it is that you're asking. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Jesus, in Christ Jesus. So I want to fast forward a short time later to Judges, the 7th chapter, verses 2 to 8. Because here's where the real meat of where I'm going today with the why me. The Lord said to Gideon, you have too many men. Maybe he might say to somebody, you got too much money. You have too many men. I cannot deliver the Midians into your hands, or Israel will boast against me. My own strength has saved me. Now announce to the army, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead. So 22,000 men left, while 10,000 remained. But the Lord said to Gideon, there's still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I will thin them out for you there. If I say, this one shall go with you, he shall go. But if I say, this one shall not go with you, he shall not go. So Gideon took the men down to the water. There the Lord told him, separate those who lap the water with their tongues as a dog laps from those who kneel down to drink. 300 of them drank from cupped hands, lapping like dogs. All the rest got down on their knees to drink. The Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men that lapsed, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the others go home. So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites home, but kept the 300 who took over the provisions and the trumpets of the others. Now the camp of the Midians lay below him in the valley. Here you go, Gideon, newly armed with 32,000 in his army. 32,000 in his army. He's saying, it might be possible now. It might be possible now. Remember, the Midianites, they were down there, and the scripture said that there were so many camels, so many men, that it was just the grain of sands on the seashore. But with 32,000 men, Gideon said, maybe it's possible. Gideon is now has this army to be reckoned with. Amen? But now this new order comes and said, Send everybody out who's afraid. Send them out. Let them go. 22,000. Do you know what 22,000 of 32,000 men are? That's 66%. Two-thirds of this whole army just left. They just left. It didn't say that they feared. He said they trembled with fear. If they tremble with fear, they got to go. You know, Gideon probably thought about leaving too. Amen? But there's something here that you have to know. Everybody who enlists to fight with you ain't really ready to fight. Everybody who's ready to pray with you ain't really ready to pray with you. There's some people who want to pray and see you through. No, they don't. People like to say, I'm there for you. They ain't there for you. They there because it look good. Maybe they're there because they like the uniform. Maybe they're there because they like the equipment. Maybe they're there because they're going to get something to eat. I'll never forget a story of a young lady I grew up with. She lived a couple of doors down. She became a police officer. I'll never forget she was talking to another friend of ours, and somebody said to her, well, if they start shooting, what you going to do? And she said, I'm going to go somewhere and duck. So what you become an officer for? Why do you have a gun? Why do you have a uniform? Because they got paid good? Because they look good? But you wasn't really ready for the fight. The possibility of being in a fight, that's not what you signed up for. I would hate to be her partner. Because they send them out two by two. You're supposed to have your partner back. They're supposed to have your back. Amen? Sometimes we have prayer partners, and they're supposed to have your back. When the chips are down, are they there with you? Everybody's enlisted to fight with you. Don't really want to fight. All the battles and all the talks that we have refers to the inner battle that arises inside of us. Amen? God's spirit and our flesh are always, they're always fighting against one another. That means that your little dirty, deep secrets of sin inside of you that keeps coming after you, your prayer partner, that one in the trench with you, they got to be able to know that. They got to be able to feel that. They got to be able to pray you through that. And may I add a caveat? They can't be talking to others about it. Can you imagine how Gideon must have felt sending out this order to 32,000, 22,000 left? Can you imagine that army sitting there saying, what kind of leader we got here? We supposed to fight, and he's telling people to go home. Come here, my brother. He said we could go home. I don't know about you, man. I'm leaving. I'm out. What kind of leader do we have here? Who did God send down for us to follow? Hallelujah. But see, God wiped them out. He said, get rid of them because they really didn't want to follow you anyway. They didn't believe in you. Because if they believed in you, they wouldn't have questioned. They wouldn't have had all of that fear. Get rid of them. But wait a minute. God's got another command for Gideon. He said, you still got 10,000 men? He says, wait a minute. There's still too many. I know Gideon must have said, I know your ways are bigger than mine. I know your thoughts, not my thoughts. But did you lose it? Did you lose your mind, God? But he was obedient. Sometimes God will put you out there and you wonder whether or not this is really what he's telling you to do. You're wondering whether or not this really is the command that he's given you. Because we look up and we kind of, God, did you say get rid of them? Get rid of more? Get rid. You want me to go into battle against that sea of things going on in my life? Let's change it now. The sea of things going on in my life. You want me to go against that? With like nothing? With nobody? Gideon is saying, God, is this really something that you want me to do? Have you ever asked the Lord, is this something that you really want me to do? Hallelujah. Have you asked the Lord, is this something you want me to do? The new command went out against all reasoning. You know, when you work for God, you can't have no reasoning. No, listen to me. When you work for God, you cannot have reasoning. You need obedience and faith, not reasoning. This new command went out, and that's exactly the way God wanted it. Amen? Because in obedience to God leading, Gideon took the army to the river to drink. And only those who lapped up the water with their tongues, drinking like dogs, were allowed to stay while everybody else was sent home. So I have a question to ask you this morning. Why dogs? Why did they have to lap like dogs? Why dogs? Why not cats? Why not tigers, lions, bears? Why dogs? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Because dogs represent faithfulness. You ever seen a dog? Dogs are faithful. You could be homeless and don't have nothing. But you got that dog is going to be with you. You walk down the street pushing your shopping cart with nothing, that dog behind you just walking, wagging his tail. You don't have to have nothing for that dog to love you. If you eat and you give him a little something, he's going to remain faithful. Hallelujah. So when you read this and you see lap like dogs, because God only wanted those that were faithful. And you can see, it's not a lot. As a matter of fact, when the dust settled, it was only 300 men. Now he started 32,000, went down to 10,000. Now he's got 300. That 300 is less than 1%. 0.9375 or 1%. So he started out with all of this, and now he's only got that. Sometimes God is going to test you. You're going to start out with all of this, and you're going to get broken down to just that. And when you get broken down to just that, will you still trust God? Listen, he didn't tell Gideon, oh, you got to pay your rent. He said, you're going to go fight. But he trusted God. In the midst of all your questioning, God, why me? You still got to trust God. When it looked like you don't have just about nothing left, you still got to trust God. Here's what this picture of what God did with Gideon and God's instruction gives us. Only God's presence and actions can assure victory for his people. Only God's presence. I can see Gideon, God, I need you now. Only God's presence and actions can ensure victory. It didn't say that you might have victory. It ensures victory for his people. It says that God can work in powerful ways through a small number of dedicated people. The Bible says, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. It says that spiritual alertness and dedication are more important to God than great numbers. You've seen, we've been here, and we've had a little bit of people here, and we have a lot here. But let me tell you, my charge is to preach like the place is filled up, no matter how many people are here. And I'm also charged to preach. You're also charged to pray. You're also charged to sing and to witness like Christ was crucified yesterday, that he rose today, and that he's coming back tomorrow. Because you don't know who's hearing your message. You don't know who you're singing to. You don't know who's listening to that guitar. But our alertness that we are worshiping God and celebrating him with thanksgiving and praise is more important to him than a bunch of people sitting around doing nothing. Here's the other thing, that our greatest resource in strength to meet all of life challenges can be found in God alone. Only God, just God, not man, just God, not money, just God. You can have all the money you have that you can have in the world. But if you don't have God, you don't have anything. Pride, here's the other thing. Pride in our own accomplishments will defeat us in the end because it keeps us from receiving God's power and his help. We stick our chest out and talk about what we did. You didn't do anything, it's God. And God has more for you. But if you humble yourself down, God can give you more. He can deliver you from things that you have that you can't receive without his help. Imagine Gideon's fear when God said, go down there now, because I've already delivered them into your hands. When you pray to the Lord and you're getting ready to face a fear, you don't need that fear factor. When God tells you, when that spirit tells you, go ahead and do it because I've already delivered you into your hands. When God delivered them into your hands, you could do what you want with them. They're your puppets. You can pull them on a string. He said, take the 300 and go ahead down there. It's a done deal. You see, Gideon, he had to be convinced a few times. He had to test God a few times. And when he tested him, God showed him what he can do. So now by the time he says, go down there, because I delivered them into your hands, there was no more questions. There was just faith and power. Don't you know that we've gone through enough things where God has delivered you? You tested him, and he's delivered you. Now he's telling you to go do some things because it's already in your hands. He has delivered them in your hands. He's better than Amazon. He's better than UPS. He's better than the post office. You don't have to come home to wait for the package to come. He delivers wherever you at. Then he said to Gideon, you still don't believe. He said, we're going down to that camp. Spy, going down to that camp and listen to what they're saying. I don't know about you. Have you ever been someplace and you getting a drink of water? You're in the bathroom stall or something. And somebody's over there talking about you because they scared of you. You scared of them, but they scared of you. And then that gives you the unction to walk up and do what you got to do because you know that they're scared of you. He said, going down to that camp, see what they're saying. He went to the camp, and he heard the soldier says, I had a dream. I had a dream, and I woke up that we were slain by the sword, by a piece of bread of Gideon. And right there, he knew that God had delivered them into his hands. Sometimes you're going through something, and you don't know exactly how it's going to turn out. But God will show you something that he's already done what said he's going to do, and he has delivered the demons into your hands. Amen? He showed you that he's God and God alone. It don't make a difference what the numbers look like. You know we like to crunch numbers, right? We like to do the analytics. That's the new word today, analytics. We do the analytics on everything. People do the analytics to see how many people come to church. They do the analytics to see when you come, when you don't come, if you're on the prayer line or not, if you're giving or not. I ain't doing no analytics. I'm trusting God. Because you know what? I might miss a number. And I come to you and I say, well, you know, you didn't do this or that. And then you get offended at me because you did do that. Amen? But God knows everything. So I leave it up to the master. Amen? Everything I leave to the master's hands. Whether you give, you don't give, you come, you don't come, you sick, you not sick. You a saint or a sinner, I leave it up to him. That's not my job. I'm not to judge. Gideon's faith was renewed. With his 300 men, with nothing but trumpets and torches inside the clay pitchers, they went down yelling, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Now, you know when there's confusion, all kind of things happen. You're going to hurt yourself. They didn't know it was night. They didn't know who they were fighting. They were fighting each other, killing each other, doing all kind of things. And the ones that wasn't dead, they ran. So I'm going to tell on myself. Many, 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 many years ago. Amen. Some of you are going to identify with what I'm going to say. You know when you go to the club, it's dark? Somebody say amen. All right. So you go in there, and somebody fired a shot, a gun. Nobody runs and puts the lights on. Everybody starts running. And all you hear is, ow, oh. That's the same thing that happened to the Midianites. They took out swords and they couldn't see. They was fighting. They didn't care who they fighting. They were fighting and then running. You don't know who's your enemies, your frenemies, your friends. You just run. But Gideon had this plan that God had in store for him. He says, go down because I've already handed them to you. Amen. They said the words that they wanted him to say. Amen. When we put God in charge of our decisions, we become conquerors. We can say that the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. Amen. When the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, he had no fear. Timothy says, Paul says in Timothy, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Oh, hallelujah. Even though the world thinks you're crazy, God has given you power. He has given you power. He has given you power. So when you go to the hospital, somebody's sick, remember you have gotten power and a sound mind. It don't make a difference what the nurses, the doctors, and everybody says. You got power and a sound mind. Oh, hallelujah. It don't make a difference what your boss say. You have power and a sound mind. Hallelujah. How God chooses whoever for his glory. We must respond when we are chosen so that God can do great things. God can give you victory, but you have to trust him enough to take that step of faith. Amen? It's not a leap of faith. You can only take a leap of faith after you have faith. You take that step of faith. God will start showing up and showing out in your life. He'll do enough that you have that leap of faith when things get real rough, when everybody's turning their back on you and you think that you got nowhere to go. Don't look down. Look up. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you today, God can give you victory. I'm here to tell you today that God wants to free you from oppression, free you from fear, free you from your life of suffering. However, it's only going to happen if you say yes. Gideon said yes. Gideon said yes. Hallelujah. It's a story. Oh, hallelujah. It's a story that happens that when leaders who are called to serve take it seriously. So many times we have leaders that don't take it seriously. But we have to take God's work seriously. It can only happen when the people of God agree to follow who God has chosen to lead. As I said before in our little illustration, there were some who didn't believe in Gideon and chose not to follow him. Question, why would God give us a leader like that? Stop questioning God. God changes individuals. He changes groups. I'm going to say he changes families. Amen. It starts with a vision. Amen. Start seeing the vision. Not the vision of what you see, but what God sees. Because he sees us differently than we see ourselves. He looks at our potential and encourages us to do something great. God gives us extra encouragement when he knows your fears. Amen. He doesn't say, because you got a fear, I'm not going to let you do that. He encourages you. Amen. God sent an angel to confront and encourage. God will confront you and encourage you. Every confrontation is not to break you down. Sometimes we got to be confronted to be encouraged. God will confront you with something, and he encourages you to pray over yourself. Because you ain't got nothing left or else to do. He can be a confrontational God if he has to be. The easier, the quicker you say yes, the less confrontational he has to be. Because when you're chosen, you're chosen. You're chosen. I heard a person say one time that they wanted to divorce his wife. He said, she can divorce me if he wants to. She said, but wherever he is, I'm going to be there too. I'm going to be right there. Could do whatever he want to do. I'm going to be right there. She could do whatever she want to do. He's going to be right there. Because God is in charge. Amen. Amen. And I want to leave you with something today. And I want you to always remember. We call Jesus the Prince of Peace, don't we? Hallelujah. Don't we say, in Jesus, we're going to find a peace? Can you wave your hands with me? I need some participation. Peace beyond all understanding. God is a God of peace. Huh? Come on, somebody. Can you wave your arm? God is a God of peace. Amen. We're always looking for that peace, right? All right, stop waving. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 10 and 34. Think not that I've come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. You thinking that he came to give you peace, and you're wrong. He came to give you ammunition. He came to give you a sword. He came to give you a weapon. He came to give you something to fight with. Because there ain't going to be no peace. No matter how much you want it, you can seek it, but it shall not be found. He came to give you something to fight with. He didn't leave you defenseless. If you think you want to come to this church and you're just going to have peace, you're in the wrong place. You think you're just going to live your life and have peace? It ain't happening, brother. It ain't happening, sister. You just want to live your life and let everything just flow? This ain't a fairy tale. Oh, yeah. This ain't Jack and Jill. Oh, hallelujah. This is war. This is war. This is war. You were born into a war when you were born. You were birthed into it. And when you were birthed into it, you were birthed on the wrong side, which is sin. He wants to put you on the other side. And once you get on the other side, he's giving you something that you can fight with, because you're constantly going to be bombarded. You're constantly going to be fighting against people. The enemy's constantly going to be going after you. He knows what you're like. He knows who you are. He knows what you want. He knows your personalities. But God has given you this sword that you can fight, that you can defend yourself. He says, put on the full armor of God each and every day. Don't leave home without it. Oh, hallelujah. The sword of the Spirit. That's the word of God. That's what he's giving you. And let me tell you something. That sword, it's not a defensive mechanism. You don't back up. Because the enemy's coming after you. You go after the devil with sword, the spirit, and you fight. You let him know that you shall not be denied. You let him know that you're on the winning side. You let him know that he has already been delivered into your hands, regardless of the circumstance that you're going through. Take that sword and fight the devil. You can't fight him by yourself. You got to be in the word of God. You got to understand what God is telling you. You got to stop being misled by all of these things that sound good. I know that there's a bunch of people in here don't understand that Jesus said, I ain't come to give you peace. Bible says there'll be wars and rumors of wars. Oh, hallelujah. Not no big wars, personal wars. We don't really care about what's going on overseas. We care about the war that's in our lives each and every day. The war in our families each and every day. The war on our jobs each and every day. The war in our relationships each and every day. Those are the wars he's talking about. Stop saying, why me? Why you? Because you are a chosen one. A royal priesthood. Oh, hallelujah. If you couldn't do it, he wouldn't give it to you. God knows who he chooses. He knows who he chooses. That's why my battle is different than yours. What I can't take, you can. What you can take, I can't. Gideon, 300. 300 against thousands. You couldn't even see how far they were. You're in that war. You're a Gideon today. Thousands of things coming after you. But God has delivered them. He's delivered them. When Christ died on the cross, he said, it is finished. That's not one thing. That's everything. Oh, hallelujah. When he died on that cross, it is finished. That's everything. Everything that was then, everything that was before, everything that's going to come, it is finished. You can overcome the world because he overcame it. You can overcome death because he overcame it. Hallelujah. It is finished. My Gideons this morning, can't you stand? Oh, hallelujah. My Gideons this morning.